collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." I wonder why this morning you've come to church. Perhaps for a lot of you, you've come out of tradition. I hope that's not really the case. But maybe you've come really because you always have, or hopefully you've really come to learn about the Lord Jesus, or to see what the Lord Jesus will say to you, and say to us all today. Some people perhaps go to church to hear what a good person they are, to see how they can be perhaps a better person, or how they can be more prosperous. There are some churches, sadly, around who proclaim that they can do that. Or do you come to church to be actually shaken up, to be stirred up, to be told the honest truth? And the honest truth really is that you're sinners in need of a saviour. And there is only one saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we read of three groups of people, the tax collectors and the sinners, and also the Pharisees and the scribes, but we lump those two together to make one group. Now, when Jesus tells these three parables, he's confronting these people's sins, as he confronts all of our sin, really, with any of his parables that we read. In the chapter beforehand, we read of the Great Supper and society's outcasts being invited after many rejected the invitation of God. But here in chapter 15, verse 1, we read that tax collectors and sinners drew near to him. Perhaps they drew near out of interest, just to see what he says, because they heard previous parables, they heard these wonderful stories that he told. And they were interested because they were society's outcasts. If we read what I said in chapter 14, from verse 15 onwards, we read about society's outcasts, how Jesus so often receives these people into his presence and into his care. Or perhaps they've come just because they like a good story. Maybe they've come because they know that the Lord Jesus Christ will turn these people away. The Lord Jesus Christ never turns people away. We read of him in other parts of the Gospels where he receives children. He picks the children up and places them on his knee and cares for them. Now, when we're spiritually low, as that happens to all of us, we feel we need something, don't we, which is uplifting, something which really encourages us. And that's wonderful when that happens, but it's not necessarily the best thing for us. It's not necessarily what we need. Now, here, with these parables, like I said earlier, Jesus is confronting their sin. Now, years ago, when John Wesley started preaching, he would go to churches in London. And that's how he would start his sermons. He would say, "Look, we are all sinners." But these people, they didn't like that, so they chucked him out. And that happened from one church to another. All these churches where they had these posh Londoners, they would throw him out because they did not like being told that they were sinners, even though John Wesley said that he was as well. And it wasn't until John Wesley went to a poor mining village and preached to them. He said exactly the same things, and they came back to him and said, "Yes, I know, we are sinners. Carry on, tell us more, tell us what we need to do." Now the Pharisees and the scribes, in verse 2, it actually says that they came really to find fault with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." They said it in a sort of, like a scornful way, an accusative way. Now these three groups of people, the tax collectors, the rich, they were money grabbers, they were hated by everybody. And there's the sinners. The sin here is referring to an outward sin, completely open sin. They were living openly in their sin, and they just didn't care about how they came across to other people. And again, they were hated by all those around them. And of course, the Pharisees were a proud people, weren't they? They were arrogant people. They They loved themselves. They were condescending upon the others, or definitely these other two, and upon everybody else around them. They were self-righteous. They thought a lot of themselves. They thought they were always right. And in verse 7, he says, I say to you likewise, there will be more joy over one sinner who repents than the 99 just persons who need no repentance. Now in that verse, some people might say that it's referring to heavenly beings, or people, or angels, things like that. But here, Jesus is actually addressing the Pharisees, isn't he? So he's talking to these people who in their own eyes are righteous. They're self-righteous. As far as they're concerned, they don't need repentance. But of course they do. So each of these three groups of people, the Pharisees, the sinners, and the tax collectors, they're all addressed in one of these parables. The tax collectors here are addressed with this first one, the lost sheep. And the sinners perhaps were addressed... Then the sinners were addressed with a lost son. And of course the tax collectors with a lost coin. All things which they would relate to. And interestingly, each of them portray a characteristic of you and I and every person who has ever lived. If we look at the lost sheep, we see, don't we, that sheep really are utterly stupid. They are ridiculously silly animals. In Isaiah 53 verse 6 we read, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. See, we do what we want. We do what we think makes us happy. But we will make stupid mistakes and we will fall into the most stupid of places. And we'll try to get us out on our own. But so often we will end up much deeper in the trouble that we are in. Now if we look briefly at the lost coin. What's a coin? It's just a lump of metal, really. It's completely dead. It can't do anything. We're dead in trespasses and sins, as we read in Ephesians 2. The coin could do nothing. And compared to the rest of this dowry that this woman would have had, it's not really worth much at all. But to her, it's priceless. It was hers. She loved it. She needed that. She was a poor woman, and it was all she had. Now if we look at the lost son, one which perhaps we can all relate to a bit more easily, that son was just out and out rebellious, wasn't he? Isaiah 59 verse 13 says, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. That's what we do. We are rebellious people. In this man's case, he resented his family. He wanted to leave. And when he did as he pleased. He lived in sin. And he became, unfortunately, a slave to it. And only one person could deliver him from it, his father. He turned to his father and his father delivered him. Now in verse 4, we read, this, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? So Jesus here is putting the Pharisees in the shoes of these people. The predicament of losing something valuable in the first and second parable. In the third parable, we read that really sinners, people, you know, we have a value. And we're valuable, really, beyond measure. In Matthew 18, we read that the Son of Man, as the Lord Jesus Christ, came to save that which was lost. So all these things, although they have been lost, there is great joy, isn't there? When they are found, there is great joy. Now, of course, these three messages, these three parables, they have a common message, which is the state of the soul, the state of your soul, the state of mine, the value of it, and that there is only one who can save. There's the shepherd, the woman, and the father. They all represent the one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it homes in on the Lord Jesus Christ, but it also homes in on the fact that there is unspeakable joy in heaven over that one sinner who repents. Now in Matthew 25, we're actually compared, we're compared to sheep and to goats, every human being, sheep and goats. And it says in Matthew 25 about the sheep sitting at the Lord's right hand and the goats sitting at his left. The sheep will enter his eternal rest, his glory, and the goats will be cast away from him. Now, I just want to draw a few comparisons, really, between sheep and goats. I don't know if you know many people who actually have both. I know of a couple who have both, and you can learn a lot, really, from studying them. If you look at some goats, for example, they will easily look after themselves. They'll wander around, they'll get all their food, they'll sort themselves out. But if you look at a sheep, it needs constant care. It will wander around, but it will get itself into trouble. Goats will remain pretty healthy. You can leave them to it. But again, sheep, they're problematic, aren't they? They're susceptible to illness. You'll have to get, they get fly strike and things like that, and you have to shear them, I think, and then spray them. And they need extra food supplements to keep them healthy. Something else as well, goats. You could walk into some a field with goats in, and they'll probably happily come up to you, even though they've never seen you before. But sheep won't. Sheep will only go to the one person, or maybe several in some cases, that they know. John chapter 10 says, "My sheep hear my voice and they know me." And as I said, goats, they don't tend to get themselves in trouble. They can escape. In fact, where these goats are that I know of, they escaped one time, and I didn't really have to grab them. As soon as I got hold of them, they actually led me to the gate and they went straight back in. They knew exactly where they had to go. You try and do that with a sheep, that's not going to happen. But of course, sheep will always get themselves into trouble and try and get themselves out, and they'll get into worse trouble. I have someone else who I know has sheep. Part and parcel of keeping sheep is you count them every morning. As I'm sure some of you know, I think some of you probably are sheep farmers here. But one morning he had lost one, and eventually he found it, and it was in a bramble hedge. And it tried to get itself out, and it made a complete mess of the hedge, but it also made a mess of itself. Brambles were wrapped all around it. It severed its ears and part of its neck and cut right through the wall, through the skin. And when it came out, it took, I believe, months for it to actually heal. It's dead now, of course, it's been eaten. But it took a long time for that sheep to heal. And if you've ever had I'm going to say pleasure, I mean, it can be quite fun sometimes if you have to round up sheep, especially if you haven't got a dog, it can be good fun. But it can be really frustrating. I remember one occasion when I was trying to help round up some sheep. It was just one sheep that had escaped, and I think there were about five or six of us. We'd all stood in like a semicircle. We'd got the gate wide open, and it looked like the sheep had seen the gate, and then it charged, and it hit the stock fencing next to it. It's a stupid thing to do. It's a stupid mistake. But unfortunately, we, you and I, God's people, we are just like those sheep. We make these stupid mistakes, don't we? And we get into so much trouble. And unfortunately, so often we try to get ourselves out of that trouble. And we can put ourselves into much deeper, deeper trouble. And we can try and sort our spiritual lives out, can't we? Now, I'm not saying that trying to be holy and trying to read God's word and spending more time praying to him and serving him in some way, whether it's teaching in Sunday school or working at a youth club or other forms of ministry, outreach and so on. You know, they're all very good things to do. And we can do those things, but we have got to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, haven't we? We've got to cry out to the shepherd, the only one who can truly save us and help us. Now, I know it's another difficult thing, is we can look around and we can see lots of people around us, non-Christians, who really have no regard for the Bible, no regard for God. They don't care in any way. But it appears that they have it easy, don't they? It appears that they're rich, they're healthy, they're active, they're well-travelled, they've done these things, they've done those things, and they appear to be pretty successful at it. And they're pleased with their lives. But as I said, they have no regard for God. And they don't understand that one day they will stand before a holy God and they will be judged. And of course they are sinners, but they think they're good people. They don't understand how evil they actually are. And when we look at ourselves, and we can actually think completely the opposite, can't we? Life is hard. We've got lots of problems. Many problems. We know that we must trust God. We know that we must just believe in our Lord and Saviour. It's very simple, isn't it? It's very simple to say that. But why is it so hard? Why can't we do just that? Why can't we just trust and believe in the Lord God? Well, it's because we are just like sheep. We want to be independent like the goats. And we're not. We need round-the-clock care. We need all these, like sheep need all this extra stuff. We need the Lord Jesus Christ in every aspect of our life. We cannot do anything really without him. We must surrender completely unto God. Surrender completely to Christ. In verse 5 it says, "And when he has found it, he lays it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. He carries it so it can stray no longer." And the wonderful thing is, your salvation and my salvation, it does not depend on anything you have done. It doesn't depend on anything that I have done. It depends entirely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ has done it all. And he will take you, if you call out to him, if you trust in him, he will take you safely to the fold. Safely into his kingdom. Safely to heaven. Because Christ has done everything. So look to him. We are to look to him. We are to trust him. Now the value of your soul, the value of your soul is priceless. This one sheep, you could understand maybe a shepherd not worrying too much about one sheep. I know of sheep farmers now who they'll get a load of lambs called sock lambs, which are basically they've been rejected by their mother, and they just want to get rid of them. They're not interested in them. But to the Lord Jesus Christ, one helpless lamb that's gone astray is worth everything. See, really, the value of our souls, it can't be measured. And the love and care that Jesus shows, again, cannot be measured. Now, in these parables, we see, really, that Christ's compassion, it knows, or has, no bounds. The shepherd here will go after the strays. It will go after all that are lost. It will leave the 99 who need no repentance. These Pharisees, who were so self-righteous, and consider themselves as good people who did not need to repent and believe, or certainly didn't need to repent. He hasn't come to save these good people. In Luke 19, verse 10, we read, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The strays, like you and me, you may not feel you are, or you may not feel that you have been astray, but you have. Maybe you still are. So it's interesting really, isn't it, that the Pharisees in verse 2, they say this. They say, "This man receives sinners." Now what does that tell us about the love of God? Well, I just want to look at three things about the love of God. God's love is an active love. He doesn't sit and mourn the loss of one of his sheep. He searches, he looks for it until he finds it. And that's nothing new here. If we go right back to the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, and we'll read in verse 8 and 9, It says this, speaking of Adam and Eve, after they had eaten of the fruit, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. In verse 9, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" This has been happening right from the very beginning. God took the initiative. God made the first move. So the lost sheep, really, this parable is nothing new. God made the first move, and even though there are so many people around the world who've really, ultimately, they've got their fingers in their ears, and they're not listening at all to what their conscience is telling them. But God is searching, is looking for sinners. And he still seeks to save the lost today. But God's love is a strong, strong love, isn't it? He carries the sheep. He puts it on his shoulders. And he delights to show mercy, doesn't he, our God? If we look at Micah chapter 7 and verse 18, it says, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy." That is our God, your God and my God. He delights to show mercy. And in this parable of the sheep, the lost sheep, we actually read that he picks the sheep up. He picks it up so it can stray no more. Now, it's quite a job, really, picking a sheep up and getting it on your shoulders. They'll kick and thrash around. But the Lord Jesus, that's what he does to his people. He carries us. He carries us along. So often we'll try to do things in our own strength, won't we? We'll try to walk on our own, but we can't on our own. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. His love is also a sacrificial love. You remember the shepherd, he went out of his way to find this single lost sheep. Now that could have taken a long time. We're not told exactly how long it took. I know it's just a story that the Lord is telling. But that could have taken minutes, it could have taken hours, it could have taken days. But what we are told is that he searched until he found it. And of course, when he finds it, he's then got to catch it. Now, catching sheep is no easy matter. Rounding them up's one thing, trying to actually catch one is a different matter altogether. Now, some sheep, of course, they get themselves into very awkward and painful places. And it would have been painful, I think, for my friend to get that sheep out of the brambles. It would have caused him some pain. But the amount of trouble that you have caused has caused Jesus a mighty, mighty amount of pain. It says in John chapter 10, verse 15, that this is Jesus speaking, "I lay down my life for the sheep." The Lord Jesus Christ went through the pain and the suffering of and humiliation of a horrendous death on the cross so that he may save the sheep, the lost, so that he may bring all the lost to glory, into heaven, to be with him. And also in John chapter 15, it says this, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Try and tell me, or try and tell some other Christian, that that is not love. Laying down your life, giving your only life, giving your life, giving everything you've had for the life of someone who makes mistakes, someone who is willfully going against the will of God. Finally, this morning, let's look back at verse 2, what it actually says, and who actually says it. It says, the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So this very accusation that the Pharisees are making here, it actually turns out that it's the essence of, well, it's the essence of the whole chapter, but it's the essence of the gospel, isn't it? It's the essence of the whole message of salvation in the Bible. that this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, receives sinners. He receives people like you and me. He has compassion. He is tender-hearted towards them. Shows kindness. And he does not drive away. He will not turn away anyone who comes to him. He says in John 6, "The one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He receives us, and he will sanctify us, and he will conform us really to his image. And one day, one bright morning, he will receive us, his people, into heaven. Now I want to ask you this morning, where do you stand? Are you lost, or have you been found? Now for many of us, I hope that you can all say you're one of his sheep, you've been found by his grace. But there are many who are still lost. What does a lost sheep do? Especially a young one, a lost lamb. When they get stuck, when they get in trouble, what do? They'll start bleating. They'll start calling for their mother. Now we may be drawn away from God by one thing or another, we'll be enticed by something. But we must cling on to this lifeline, really. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only hope for our salvation. Now, years ago in Switzerland, well, it's obviously still there, there's a mountain called the Eiger. And people try and climb the north face. Now, years ago, when they first tried to scale that sheer cliff, there were a group of climbers. They climbed it. They got about halfway up, I think. And they came into great difficulty. People who were looking from down below through their telescopes, they could see that they were in trouble. Now, with that mountain, there is a tunnel that goes all the way through it. And somewhere along that, there are various doors which enable people to come out to look from this cliff. And a rescue party, they went up. They got to one of these doors. And as they looked out of it, they could see this man hanging on his rope, literally yards from them. So they got out there, as many of them who could do it, they went out and they got as close as they could to him. They got pretty much a few feet, maybe a few metres underneath him. And they cried out to him, they said, "Look, just cut the rope. Cut the rope and we'll catch you." Well, he didn't do that. He gave up. He couldn't bring himself to cut that rope so that he would drop. But he would have dropped safely into the arms of his rescuers. And there was no way they could get to him. So he, as he hung there, he died. Friends, men, women, boys and girls, there is only one way of salvation, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You must relinquish, you must let go of everything in this life that is holding you back. Anything that you think may help you in some way. Nothing will help you except the Lord Jesus Christ. You must cry out to him. You must call upon him that you will be saved. Well, our last hymn this morning is hymn 474.